Okay, then I'm going to call to order the meeting of the County Board of Health for Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. The approval of the minutes from January 10th, February 14th, March 14th, April 11th meetings are all going to be deferred until our October 10th in-person meeting. Do we have any public comments? We do not have any public comments. Moving on to president's comments. First of all, I know we're going to be having a review of the CHA that got sent out, the draft that got sent out. I really encourage people to read that. That was really interesting, and we'll discuss that more. But I'd also like to refer everybody to make sure that you saw the email that was sent out by Karen and Diane about Assembly Bill 245. That assembly bill, the short version is that there is a bill that is proposing that after 14 days, a health officer's orders should be legislated upon by local politicians. And this has huge ramifications because things like tuberculosis, pertussis, listeria, or some food and waterborne pathogens, they don't have a nice 14-day schedule. You know, there are some that are 30-day or more. There are some that are, 21 days. You know, where 14 days came from is a completely arbitrary and non-scientific number. And so that is something that I would refer everybody to, that perhaps individually we need to spread the word that this is a bad idea and we need to be contacting our local representatives, but also something to be discussed. I personally think that we as a Board of Health need to come on board and kind of say, this is a really bad idea. I'm not sure where it was coming from, but it is certainly not science-based. And Diane, thank you for making sure that that got out to us. Appreciate that. It was an email that was sent out. Help me, my days have been running together over the last month.
Beginning of May.
Yeah, somewhere around the beginning, around the last week. So if you have not read it, please check that email and look into that. And again, I personally think that we as a board need to write a letter and send that off, but I'd be open to hearing discussion from anybody else later on when we have other business. That is pretty much it for the president's comments. Moving on to the health officer and director's report, turning it over to you.
So thank you, Julia. First, I would like to bring everybody's attention and welcome our new Board of Health member, Juan Torres.
Juan.
I am here. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Long time no see.
Juan.
Juan, this is how we do things. So far, welcome to our first meeting. Please, we'd welcome any input that you have at any time or point going forward, but we're really happy to have you as a member of our Board of Health.
Thank you. I did like the format of the annual report. It's really
good.
I don't like graphs or circles or pies or whatever, and it's really well put up, and I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. I have
understandable.
Yes, that's the purpose. I have to say our human services director liked it as well and wants to use it as a template for all of human services and our overall human services report. So Stacy and Leanne and group, thank you for getting into Dan, our epidemiologist, had a lot to do with that. So we're blessed to have him as well.
And Brad, who's on here as well, I see Brad here. So thank you to Brad for helping pull this together as well.
All right. So with that, I just do have a couple quick updates, and then we have some guests, Kim Whitmore, who will share in a moment. I'll kick it over to Stacy, but just a couple updates. We're nearing completion of our community health assessment report, which you'll hear today. We, as you know, as Juan just noted, we did submit our 2022 annual report, and that is up on the website as well. Leanne's team, myself, and the Aging and Disabilities Leadership Group, we did submit a grant for two vending machines that would house narcotics, fentanyl test strips, and most likely medication lock bags. So we're waiting to hear from that. That's a newer trend that Milwaukee has initiated and other communities have initiated. Our thought was to put these vending machines in one west of the eye at the Sharing Center, and then the other one at the Crisis Center here in town. So we'll keep you posted if we receive the grant, and as we hopefully begin to implement them in their locations. And then I did want to bring your attention to our new satellite clinic west of the eye. We opened in April. We are there twice a month, first and third Thursday of every month. We had no clients in April, but in May, just last week, we had our first client. So one client down and hopefully many to go. And I think that's it for me, unless anybody has any other questions for me. All right, I'm going to kick it over to Stacy. Stacy Wyans is is a member of Leanne's team. And has been working very diligently on our community health assessment in getting it to the point that we have with our collaborating members of Aurora and Freidert and a team of folks that have gotten us to this point. We did share this report or the draft of the report with our health equity task force last week, and we're here to share it with you today. So Stacy, I'll kick it over to you.
Sure. Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Stacy Wines. I'm a public health supervisor with the health department. I've been overseeing our community health assessment and community health improvement plan. And you may recall, as a health department, we are required to do this. We're required to do a community health assessment and to develop a community health improvement plan. So this is something we've been doing, and this is our new iteration of it. So I will be passing it to Kim Whitmore. We have contracted with her and her company, Ujima United, to lead us through this process, and she's been so valuable. The draft of our community health assessment report was sent to you all to look at, and Kim will be reviewing it with you all. So I'll pass it on to her, Kim.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. It's nice to be here. Thanks for allowing the time and space to walk through this with you. I'll just give a little bit of introduction to myself so you know who you're talking to and hearing from before I share my screen. So I'm Kim Whitmore. I'm in this role here working as a consultant through my consulting agency, Ujima United, as Stacy mentioned. But my background, I have spent most of my career in governmental public health. So I was a local health officer for the city of Cudahy, one of the suburbs of Milwaukee, and also worked for the state health department as the policy section chief and state health plan officer. So I have helped facilitate a lot of this work at the local and state level and have consulted with a number of health departments through this work. It's something I really enjoy doing. I also, similar to most of you, have served on a board of health as well. So after I left my role in governmental public health, I was invited to serve on the board of health for Dane County, which I recently resigned from as the vice chair. So was in that position for about 3 years. So appreciate all the work that the board of health does, especially these past few years during the pandemic. I know it is not easy. And so thank you for serving your community in this way. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen and make sure you all can see it. So are you guys seeing my screen okay?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So what I plan to do during the time I have with you today is to just provide an overview of the process that we use for the community health assessment and community health improvement planning, of which we have coined the name Thrive, which I'll talk about in a little bit. We're going to review the potential community priorities that we are considering as we move forward in this process and talk about the criteria that are going to be used for identifying those priorities that will feed into the community health improvement plan, and then would love to just touch base a little bit and talk about our plans and get some input from you on our community centered dissemination of this work, and then share what the next steps are for moving forward. So this is our branded Kenosha County Thrive Community Health Improvement Plan logo. And this was something that we're really intentional about, trying to create an identity and a branding around this initiative. A lot of times in communities, the idea of a community health assessment and community health improvement plan is very academic. It's not very exciting, but I think people can resonate with this idea of creating a thriving, healthy community. And so you will see this branding hopefully continue as we move forward in this initiative, so that we start to get some identity and some attention in the community and excitement about the opportunity to help Kenosha County thrive. But we know that doing this work, it's really important that we have a plan, and you know, we have this goal of creating a thriving, healthy community, but that goal is nothing if we don't have a plan. It's just a wish. And so that's really what this ultimate process is about. We start with our community health assessment, which I'm going to spend most of the time talking about today. But after that, the next step in that improvement planning process is to identify those priorities, actually put together a realistic plan that can be actualized, implemented, and evaluated moving forward. As Stacy mentioned, this is something that all local health departments, as well as nonprofit health systems, are required to do, and often do in partnership, as Kenosha County is doing, every 3 to 5 years. So really glad to see the great partnerships that Kenosha has. You guys are really lucky that you have such a diverse group of stakeholders invested through the community Health Advisory Council and the Health Equity Task Force. So it's been really great to work with Kenosha County on this process and see all the great partnerships that you already have. And that's important because we know that this work cannot be done alone. This is not Kenosha County Public Health Department's plan. This is Kenosha County, the community's plan. And so we want to ensure that we are intentionally engaging partners and stakeholders throughout this process, so that we can ultimately come from the state of often disorder, confusion, or individual impact on improving health in the community to coordinating and ideally creating some collective impact where we're building off each other's efforts and really strategically aligning the work that we do across the community to improve health and create a thriving Kenosha County. This is just a visual that kind of talks about some of the stakeholders and partners that we want to make sure we're engaging in this process. There's many more. And again, very impressed with Kenosha County and the level of engagement that you have with the partners that will help make that collective impact process even more easy to achieve. And then lastly, I just want to mention, sort of as a really important lens to this work, we are very intentional about ensuring that throughout this process, we are engaging diverse members of our community and sectors and ensuring that we are putting that equity lens on this work. So we know that different sectors of our community, geographic regions, different racial groups, different income levels, different ages, all have different needs in our community. And as we think about the planning process, we can't distribute those resources and initiatives and efforts equally, because that doesn't create equity. And we really want all of Kenosha County to thrive, not just certain segments of it. And so that lens has been held tightly to this process throughout. So some of the strategies that we used for the community health assessment include a community health survey as the lead main initiative that we helped to gather information directly from members of the community. This was a survey that was developed by the Public Health Department with input from Aurora and Fraidart South. The actual collection and analysis of the survey data was conducted by NJM Management Services, a consulting agency that helps to support that work. And that survey was open last fall for about a month, and we had almost 1,000 responses, which is a very good response rate for a community of your size. The responses were very much representative of the Kenosha County demographics, which we're really excited to see. The only area where we were a little off is on gender. So you'll notice that in the written report, we talk about that and say how some of the data was weighted by gender just to ensure that our gender distribution comes across in a fair way. But that's pretty common for surveys. Men just don't like taking surveys for some reason. And then one of the key questions on this community health survey was a question that asked members of the community to identify the top three health concerns they felt were important to Kenosha County. And that is something that we really use to guide a lot of the work. And I'll share that when I share the draft plan with you as well. Another way that we engaged community members in this process is through community conversations. So my organization helped to lead and convene these community conversations. And again, with that equity lens, very intentional on prioritizing meeting and having conversations with groups that are historically marginalized and underrepresented in these planning process. So we intentionally engage with rural communities, the LGBTQ plus communities, African American, Latinx, our youth, and the health advisory committee that makes up a lot of stakeholder groups that represent a lot of our underrepresented communities across the county. We held a total of 8 conversations and had 85 total participants. And in the report, we highlight some of the key themes from those. And it's really interesting to see how the themes that came up from those community conversations really align and validate a lot of what was said in the survey, as well as what the data shares too. And then what we did with this information is we decided a great way to present this to the community to help make it not so overwhelming. We didn't want to just dump tons of data on people because, you know, most people don't resonate with data. They want to hear the full story. They want to really understand these issues. So we framed our report in data stories around the top issues that the community identified in the survey. And then we pulled in additional data to help highlight key information we know about each of those priority areas. So we use data from the health survey, the community conversations, as well as different public health data sources internally that the health department tracks, as well as publicly available data sources like census data, the county health rankings data, and police data, coroner's data, lots of other data sources that again are highlighted in our report to ensure that we really did a thorough job of trying to craft the story and paint the picture of what these issues look like in Kenosha County. So I'm going to pause this presentation for a second and switch gears over to showing the actual report. Again, this report was shared with you last week, and we really encourage you to review it and provide detailed feedback that you have about the report to us. Our goal is to get feedback by the end of the day tomorrow from stakeholders so that we can incorporate, make final changes and tweaks, and then publish the final version next week prior to our health advisory committee meeting that we're having on the 17th. So I'm not going to go through in detail the draft report, but I do want to sort of orient you to the different sections of the report so that if you haven't had a chance to look at it, you kind of understand how it flows and where some key information is. So again, this is still in our draft form, and we start with an executive summary that again describes that process that I just explained to you a little bit about what the next steps are. We highlight the different sources of data that were included and reviewed in this process. We highlight who all those partners were that were involved. And then I want to just pause for a second on this graphic, because I think this is really important graphic to highlight. This is a visual representation of the percentage of survey respondents who selected these issues as their top health concerns. So you can see that about half of the community that completed the survey identified access to affordable health care and housing as a top health concern. And then proportionately, those numbers go down. And you can see these issues here that are all highlighted in this report. And so we framed data stories around each of these issues and pulled in key data to help paint that story in the Kenosha community. We go into a little bit more detail about what was involved in the community health assessment and describe some of the methods around the survey. So you can take a look at that if you're curious to know a little bit more about that. And we also highlight some of the demographic characteristics of who took the survey. So we have some visuals, and we tried really intentionally to make our visuals very simple and self-explanatory and caption them in a way that helped people understand what they should be paying attention to. So a lot of times when people look at graphs and tables, it can get really overwhelming and you're not really sure what conclusion you're supposed to draw from it. And so we made sure that in all of our data visuals that we included, that we really highlight the key thing that we want people to take away from looking at that visual. So hopefully that's helpful in orienting people to how we displayed the data. Again, the data was very representative of the Kenosha community. And then one thing we thought was really interesting is we wanted to look at the priority issues from the survey based on geography, because we know that most communities have very different access to resources and supports based on where you live. And so what we found was that if you look down at the key, the green is healthcare, the blue is housing, and the yellow is drug and alcohol use, that the number one most selected priority issue across most of the communities in Kenosha County was healthcare. That was number one. The second most selected was affordable healthcare, and the third was drug and alcohol use. So you can see, you know, some slight differences, but across all communities in Kenosha County, these were the top three. For some, they prioritized healthcare over housing, but these were the real big top three that stood out as issues for those who took the survey. Then we go into a little bit more detail about the community conversations. These were the three framing questions we asked in those community conversations. And, I help facilitate those community conversations with other colleagues of mine from our consulting agency. And it was so great to have these conversations with people. We got really honest information and feedback from different groups. And you can see some of the themes that came up. And then throughout the report, we highlight quotes from those conversations that align with those top health concerns using this icon here. And then we highlight some of the data that we use and just kind of describe that as well. One of the big sources of data we're fortunate to have access to is the County Health Rankings and Roadmap. And so we similarly used icons that look like the boundaries of Kenosha County and Wisconsin to highlight how Kenosha compares to Wisconsin and some of those key county health rankings that align with our priority issues as well. We know that there are some people who are big data nerds and will want to see more data than what we've shared. And so we wanted to invite individuals and organizations that are curious to know more about what other data was collected and reviewed but may not be represented in this report. And so we have a way for people to do that. So if there are individuals that want to see more data, that want to dig deeper into it, we have all that data saved and organized as well. And then each of those key issues, again, is framed as a data story. So they have a pretty similar flow. We provide sort of a summary overview of what that issue means. We highlight some key data visuals. We include the conversations and the how does Kenosha compare. And so for each of those key issues, you'll see that throughout the report. I'm going to just kind of scroll past all of those. Again, we encourage you to read through them in great detail and ask questions and share feedback to us about what you see in those reports. But hopefully you'll see that we tried to frame a nice story around each of those key issues and help people understand what that looks like in Kenosha County. So then when we get through all those data stories, a really important aspect of this that we thought was important to emphasize is the fact that racism and equity intersect with all of these key issues. So we chose to pull out equity as a cross-cutting issue and highlight how equity impacts all of these health issues throughout our community. And so you'll see that we describe that a little bit more in the report. And then for some of the top health issues, we tried to show where there are disparities in those issues in our community, and not just racial ethnic disparities, but income related disparities, geographic disparities, age related disparities. We know that there's disparities across all different levels in our community, and we wanted to highlight those for folks to understand where some of those key disparities are in these priority issues. So you'll see those broken down in this last section of the report. And then we also describe a little bit about the social vulnerability index, which we know is not a very commonly known thing. So we describe what that is a little bit and show some mapping of the social vulnerability across our community on some of these issues that are really important. And then finally, we end with telling the community what the next steps are. So we highlight how we're going to be prioritizing issues, getting together in action teams to develop and implement this plan. And we invite members of the community to join because it's, again, very important that this is the community's plan. It needs to be driven by, developed for, and implemented with the community for it to be successful. So we encourage people to join, to sign up, to stay updated on the email list and join an action team so that we can, in the end, work together to develop a great plan that will help create a thriving, healthy Kenosha County. We have acknowledgments and references and all that at the end as well for folks. So I'm going to pause there. I'm going to stop my screen share just to answer any questions or hear sort of any bigger picture thoughts or feedback on the report before I dive into our next steps with this work in a little more detail. So questions, comments, anything you want me to expand on from what I've already shared?
I guess I have. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I can understand the access to healthcare being a real problem, but how often have you found implementable? So it seems like that is a huge problem. And I don't know at a community level how easily that's addressed, I guess. I mean, it's one thing if it's maybe access, like no buses to get there or something like that, but just affordable. Maybe that's more what I'm getting as affordable healthcare. Yeah. How do you solve that?
Yeah. So very big issue, but there are evidence-based strategies that can help address some of that. And when we get into the planning process, and I'll share this a little bit later in my slides, we'll be bringing forward some of those best practices and evidence-based programs that communities have used to help increase access to healthcare and all across all these issues, what has worked. There's a great repository of what works in public health around some of these issues that we can look at adapting and bringing forward. And some of it does come down to, a lot of times the challenge is that people aren't aware of the services that are available. So it increasing their access to it might be really framed on how do we raise more awareness about the community clinic that's there? How do we get people enrolled in benefits that they're eligible for? So are we going to create, free public health care for everyone in Kenosha County in 3 years? No, that's not going to happen, right? But there are ways we can link people better to resources that are available. We can do some advocacy to continue to support that long-term change of increasing access to affordable healthcare for folks. But there's baby steps we can take in the meantime to help move the needle on some of these issues and get people better connected to resources and supports. Yeah, great question.
Kenny, go ahead.
So my question was kind of geared about the diversity of the survey itself. Now, were there any plans or any ideas in, I know you said men weren't very much involved in the survey responses for men. Were there any plans or any ideas to get men more involved, and especially African-American men who probably, if I delved into the numbers, were probably the lowest in the spectrum of men in general? Are there any plans to get, find out ways to get people more involved?
Yeah, so, what's nice about the process we used is we had the survey, but then we also held those conversations. And so, in our community conversations with African Americans, we did have representation from male as well as youth, which is a huge aspect of getting that youth voice in the process to get some input from them. We certainly want to encourage and engage, and we'll work with the Health Equity Task Force to try to get more diverse members of our community represented on those action teams moving forward. But there has been a lot of outreach into those communities, and we welcome your ideas and thoughts on how we can continue to engage and invite folks into that process. So if you have ideas on how we can do that, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah. I'll be following up with that email. I do have a couple of ideas.
Okay, Kim, go ahead and let's finish that.
Okay, go on to great. The next. Perfect. Let me get my screen share back up and we will Whoops, I need to go from the right side. Sorry about that. From the current side. There you go. Are you seeing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. So as mentioned a couple times, the next step is to actually identify the priorities. And that's a really important part of this process because we know that there are tons of issues that impact our community and we can't do it all at once. We'd love to, but we don't have that ability. So it's important for us to prioritize because if everything's a priority, really nothing's a priority. Your resources, time and attention get stretched too thin. And so identifying where we can make the biggest impact, where there's opportunity to move the needle on these areas is so important as the next step. So these are some of the criteria that we're going to be encouraging members of the community that are going to be attending the May 17th meeting to think about as we ultimately select the top priorities. So we want people to think about the size of the problem, how urgent, how severe, how it impacts others. Are there disparities, certain groups that are impacted more? Do we have a way to improve this issue? Like, are there evidence-based strategies that can help and make an impact on this problem that we can adopt and easily implement in the context of the Kenosha community? Does it make economic sense? Do we have resources? Is it, you know, is there a good return on investment for investing in interventions to address those issues? And then what does the community think? We already know that from the survey, but also, like, do we think this is something that culturally the community is willing to change and do something different on? And then the one that we often don't like to think about, but is really important to think about, is, are there legal or political barriers to addressing this problem? Is this something that requires legislative action to make a difference? And do we have the political will to make that happen in our community? So these are some of the things that we want people to think about as they review these challenges that face our community and think about potential solutions. And again, that will happen at that May 17th meeting. We also want people to remember that, again, this isn't the health department's plan. It isn't Aurora's plan. It isn't any individual or organization's plan. This is meant to be a collective plan for the entire community. And so while we have a lot of people that have personal or professional sort of issues that they're focused on, they may need to step back from that and think about this as a bigger community-wide initiative. Not to take away the fact that their personal professional issue still matters and we still want them to continue to do that work, but there are certain areas where we may need to just come together and focus our attentions on more. So we're going to be encouraging folks to recognize and set aside those biases and really step back to have a broader view on these issues as we do that community prioritizing. We also want to make sure that the health assessment data that we have, as well as throughout our planning process, is disseminated to our community in a way that is engaging and meaningful to community members. And I think what's nice about the way the report is formatted is that each of those data stories really can be a pullout and we can highlight those issues. So if we are wanting to share information with stakeholders and partners who are engaged in housing, we can pull out that data story and share it with them. Each of those data visualizations that are captured in the report could be a social media graphic that we share back with community. And so we welcome your input on ways that we can create conversations in the community, share this information out, get people excited about coming together and making a difference on this as well. So if we have some time at the end, you know, we can pause and take some of that feedback now, but feel free to share that, you know, on an ongoing basis, because that will continue to be a focus as this process moves forward as well. So for next steps, again, I mentioned we're going to be forming action teams around the top issues that are selected on the 17th. And this just goes through a little bit about how those action teams are going to be structured. So we'll have an overall steering committee. We'll have co-leads for each of the action teams. And again, the importance of that is that we'll have someone from the health department and a community leader, a community partner who's going to be co-leading that work. So it's a shared responsibility of convening those action teams. And then we invite anyone who wants to be involved to serve on those action teams moving forward. And the health department staff will continue to provide that operational backbone support to ensure that, you know, meetings get scheduled and invites go out and we have all the materials we need for all those meetings as well. The next couple of slides just kind of go into a little little bit more detail about the responsibilities of these different roles, which again, we'll share this in detail at the 17th meeting. I'll share the slide deck with you guys if you want to take a look at what those different roles all involve. But for sake of time, I'm just going to skip past those a little bit and talk about when we're going to do this work. So we've actually already set our series of three action team meetings over the course of the summer, just because we find logistically it's easier to put them on the calendar and people can work around to make them work, and we'll record them if they can't and ask them to send someone in their place if they can't make it. That way, you know, people know what they're committing to, that these are the dates we're asking them to be present for those conversations. And we want to highlight to partners, especially organizational partners in our community, to really think about who's the best person to represent their organization, because it may not be the, you know, CEO of an organization that should be there. We want the worker bees that are going to be able to actually commit the time and energy it takes to help develop the plan and support implementation of these initiatives across our community. We already have sort of the objectives set for each of those action team meetings. So the idea is, with facilitation, those action team meetings will have conversations around different aspects that are needed to inform the plan. And by the time we finish that series of three meetings, we'll have all the information we need to develop the community health assessment plan. So you can see from this list, we're going to start by exploring the root causes of those top issues that are identified. So helping people dive a little deeper to understand, like, why, you know, where are some areas that you may not have thought about that contribute to housing issues, for example. And then from that, we'll help develop some specific objectives around those issues. And then we'll be bringing forth those, you know, best practices and policies to help them think about strategies. But also an important piece of that is identifying who's already doing work in those areas and what resources do we have that support those issues in our community so that we can leverage those for collective impact. We don't need to recreate the wheel. Sometimes it's about realigning the wheel. It's about ensuring that this organization is aware of this organization. They're working together on this issue. And that may be a really positive outcome from this as well. We may have enough activity going on, but it may not be aligned for the greatest impact. Then once we have identified the strategies that we think are going to help in our community, we're going to work on developing a plan to implement and have ongoing evaluation of those plans. And then again, throughout this process, sharing that information back with the community is important as well. We'll also invite folks and invite you as well to join our Thrive Listserv. We know that there are some people in our community that have resources that can help provide people or financial resources to support this process. So we want to invite people to think about how they can be a part of this work in lots of different ways. At the May 17th meeting, we'll do a call to action and have people commit through involvement cards that will also push out broadly via email to folks that aren't able to attend on the 17th to try to get as many people involved in those next steps as we can. So that's kind of where we're headed. Again, I'll stop my screen share so I can see all of you, and happy to answer questions, hear comments, feedback, and expand on anything that you'd like me to expand on.
Okay. Well, it sounds, I'm not seeing anything. Somebody needs to speak up if I'm wrong, but it sounds like if people haven't had a chance to go through and read that, please read through the draft. Please give feedback. And please try to put those dates on your calendar and try to figure out how we can be involved. I think one of the big things is that we need to figure out a good way to point out to the community that this is not something that is being prescribed for them, but this is something that they have chosen, and these are the priorities that have resonated with them. And that while many people may be surprised, I particularly look at the housing issue, and I think there's a lot of people that would be surprised at how important housing is. You know, that is a big deal, and it is a big deal west of the eye, and it is a big deal east of the eye. And, you know, instead of some of the arbitrary, you know, territorial things that sometimes I start seeing and hearing about, you know, I think this is a really good thing for everybody to say this is a community plan, and we all need to back the community. So thank you very much for your work and for the explanation. And I hope that we continue to work with that. So Lori, anything else that you'd like?
No, I'd push for you all to attend the May 17th meeting from 3 to 5 o'clock would be fantastic. I think that would be my next thing, my wish list next item.
Okay. So next on the agenda is the annual report.
I think we didn't have planned to review it at all. I think it was just a matter of have you all seen it? And Juan opened that up to that discussion a bit. So I guess I can answer any questions if anybody has any of those. Nope. Okay. Okay.
All right, moving on to Leanne, I guess.
I don't think we were planning on having Leanne today.
I know. I can just, you know, piggyback on what Julia was talking about earlier, yeah, which is basically the shared revenue bill. It's definitely a hot topic of conversation at our policy and advocacy group. It's, you know, a good thing in the sense that they're providing more dollars for Wisconsin public health, and that was the positive part of the bill. And then the negative part of the bill was trying to take away power from the local public health officers. So I think, you know, just watching, I agree with Julia, if this organization wants to put something out moving forward and a statement to the local legislatures, like we, you know, we don't support this in the way that it's written now. How can we move forward and do something that is helpful for public health and not, you know, not helping the health officers when they do have to act in a public health crisis. So that was mainly the topic that we covered at the policy and advocacy group in April. There's a couple other pieces that we moved forward to support. Senate Bill 211 allows pharmacists to prescribe contraceptives. We moved to support that. There was a bill, LRB 2389, prohibiting open alcohol containers on ATVs or UTVs. We moved to support that as well. Obviously, we want to keep people safe as they're out this summer enjoying their time, but not having open alcohol is something that we felt was definitely important. So those are the topics that were discussed at the WPHA and WLDAB Policy and Advocacy Committee in April.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments, Lori?
No other comments. Nope, it's CHOB month.
All right. Corporation Council report.
Hi, everyone. We are still working for a realistic go live date for our chapter 51s going to Lake Behavioral. We ran into a few hiccups with a lack of signatures from Illinois. I think that issue has been addressed as of this morning. And then there were a few hiccups with the licensure in both Illinois and Wisconsin. It's my understanding the licensing department had lost some of the applications. So we're working to correct that and get an actual go live date, hopefully in the next week or so. Any questions on that? All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jen.
Yeah. Any other businesses authorized by law? Is anybody, does anybody have the time on Board of Health to start putting together a letter that we could then sign so that that could be sent in regarding the Assembly Bill 245. Does anybody have any time that they could devote to doing something like that? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. So I will start drafting something, but I will probably send it out to a few of you if you are remotely interested in seeing that and kind of giving feedback. That would be great. I think we're all the type of people that are overstretched, but I thought I would throw out a question. Okay. So I'll just send it out to the board, and if people can kind of group edit it, that would be great. Leanne, what is our timeline on that?
Well, unfortunately, they're actively working on this right now. They had a session this week that some of this was presented already to the legislatures. So what I understand is the bill as it stands, the governor will veto the bill as it stands. So he's not in favor of this. So I think just some type of support letter, it doesn't even have to be long and elaborate, that, you know, we don't support the bill as it stands. I don't know if you have any suggestions as to how you feel it should be worded, but just we support the dollars coming in for public health, but not taking away the, you know, health officers' responsibility. So something pretty simple. I think the sooner the better that you get something out.
Okay. If people could also pass the information to, you know, kind of the people in their circles, because I think it would be very important to have a little bit of a grassroots, you know, call our local assemblymen, call our local people, you know, contact them, and just have some of the local people contacting our local people. I mean, you know, I don't think we're going to change the minds of assembly people from, you know, the north of Wisconsin, but we need to be talking to our people, and we need, those of us on the board need to be having the people within our circle of influence making those phone calls and, you know, sending those emails as well. All right, I will try to get something out to you within the next 24 hours or so. That people can kind of go off of, and then hopefully we can send it off quickly. All right. Any other businesses authorized by law, or anything that people want to speak on that? No. Okay. Any closing board comments? Anyone else? Okay. In that case, I need a motion to adjourn. Moved by Diane. Do I have a second?
Second. That's fine.
Second.
Thank you. All right. It's moved and seconded. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.